Good morning. It is Thursday, August 27th, and the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Connor Thomas, filling in for Leslie Thatcher. KPCW is aware of a small half-acre lightning-caused fire currently smoldering and smoking in on the eastern aspect of Pinecone Ridge. That's in the Thanes Canyon area of Park City Mountain. And the Park City Fire District is currently responding. According to the Park City and Summit County governments, who wrote in a social media post not to report the fire as they are aware and responding to it, there is currently no danger to structures or the community here in Park City at the moment. Park City Fire Assistant Chief Sean Briley told KPCW that a single tree was struck by lightning overnight, either late Wednesday or early Thursday morning. And Utah Fire Info says the fire resulting from that was discovered around 6:30 a.m. Trucks have been headed to that site from both the Mountain Village and Canyons Village sides of Park City Mountain and expect to have to reach the site of the fire again on the eastern face of Pinecone Ridge by foot. There are two fire trucks and a side-by-side responding as of 7 a.m. We have the latest updates at kpcw.org and have been receiving listener photos as well. Please continue to send those to news at kpcw.org as I am unable to see the smoke column from my vantage here at the broadcast center on Swede Alley. I'm blocked by the mountains, but the fire officials tell us that residents can expect to see smoke from this incident through mid-morning at least while they respond to it. The plan, according to Assistant Chief Sean Briley, is to fell the tree that was struck by lightning with chainsaws and mop up any hot spots from there. The Northern Utah Interagency Fire Center is aware of this incident as well and is monitoring. Once again, the Thanes Canyon fire discovered about 6:30 a.m. this morning. Is an estimated half acre in size. It was caused by lightning overnight. Getting into weather now, it's about 53 degrees in Park City and 57 in Heber, and we expect to get into the upper 80s for the rest of this week in Park City, although it will cool down as we receive some weekend moisture. The high today in Heber is 93, and with more on the weather outlook for the Wasatch Back, we have ABC 4 meteorologist Cedric Haynes.
Happy Thursday, KPCW listeners. It's time for your forecast for the Wasatch Back on this Thursday. We're going to be looking at partly cloudy skies. We will have a chance of a couple of isolated showers and thunderstorms. There's a chance during the afternoon hours, I think a little better chance heading into the evening hours. Either way, high temperatures will climb into the mid-80s in Park City. We'll see those high temperatures climbing into the lower 90s in the Heber Valley. As we make our way into your Friday, look for partly cloudy skies. Again, we'll have a chance of a few isolated thunderstorms during the day. Temperatures slightly cooler, low 80s for highs in Park City. We'll see those highs only into the upper 80s to near 90 in the Heber Valley. But we do have a late August cold front heading our way. Yeah, can you believe that? That's going to bring us a big drop in temperatures and a better chance of widespread showers and storms. In fact, thunderstorms are going to be likely for our Saturday. A couple of those could be on the strong to severe side with some high damaging wind gusts up to 60 to 70 miles per hour. So we're going to be watching that for you very closely by Saturday afternoon. High temperatures on your Saturday in Park City will only be in the mid-70s. We'll be seeing highs only around 80 degrees in the Heber Valley. Let's move to your Sunday because we're going to keep a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms in the forecast. In fact, again, looking fairly likely during the day on Sunday that we'll have some rounds of showers and storms moving through. And again, temperatures staying on the cooler side of things with highs only in the low 70s in Park City. We'll see high temperatures only in the upper 70s for the Heber Valley. Heading into early next week, still a decent chance of scattered showers and storms on your Monday. Temperatures for highs in the mid-70s in Park City will be in the upper 70s to low 80s in the Heber Valley. And then as we go into next Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll get back to our typical isolated storm chances in the afternoon. Partly cloudy skies, but staying with these cooler temperatures. Highs in the mid-70s in Park City for your Tuesday and Wednesday. Only around 80 in the Heber Valley. Let's look at your latest forecast for the Wasatch Back on ABC 4 meteorologist Cedric Haynes.
Thank you, Cedric. And air quality around the Wasatch Back is acceptable this morning. The Utah Department of Transportation is not reporting any accidents on roads in the Park City or Heber areas, and I'm seeing a decent backup there on State Route 248. If you're exiting off of eastbound I-80 onto Kimball Junction or U.S. Highway 40, there is the usual morning backup as well. And I believe on the phone from the Park City Fire District, we may have Assistant Chief Sean Briley. Sean, is this you?
Good morning, Connor. This is actually Assistant Chief Ashley Lewis.
All right. Good morning, Chief Lewis. What can you tell us about the ongoing fire there in the Thames Canyon area of Park City Mountain?
I appreciate you having me on this morning. As I'm sure everybody can see, there's a column of smoke that's very visible throughout the area and has generated significant number of calls to the Summit County Dispatch. We have crews on scene and additional resources responding. What we know right now is that multiple trees have burned in a concentrated area, but we are not seeing active fire spread at this time. There's plenty of moisture in the surrounding area, which is helping to limit the fire's ability to spread. Our crews are working to establish a fire line around the burned area and are going to continue to secure and monitor the incident. We certainly understand why people are concerned as they see a column of smoke, and we just want to let the community know right now the fire is not actively spreading, and we have additional resources responding to support the crews that are on scene at the moment.
Yes, and I've just heard from the Park City Municipal Communications Department that Park City Mountain has closed all trails in the entire Park City Mountain area until further notice. As I'd imagine, you want the public to sort of stand back for now. Don't go up hiking or biking while you're working to mop up that fire.
Yes, exactly. And we appreciate everyone's understanding with that.
When do you expect, I heard from Assistant Chief Briley that you're expecting smoke to be visible for a while, and as you are responding, the residents are not asked to report it at this time. How long do you expect this incident to last right now?
From what we can tell, into early afternoon, maybe into later afternoon, but like I said, we have initial units on scene, and it's going to take a little bit of time and work to get the trees down and those embers out. So expect a few hours.
Great. And it's some distance from the Thames Canyon neighborhood. Again, we should be clear for listeners when the fire is named the Thames Canyon Fire, but that refers to the geographical Thames Canyon as opposed to that neighborhood. So there are still no structures or threats to the community at this time. Any known threats to, say, Ski Mountain infrastructure since it is, within Park City Mountain boundaries?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. It's isolated right there in that general area, and we expect to have a handle on it here fairly quickly.
All right. Well, thank you for the update. We've been speaking with Park City Fire Assistant Chief Ashley Lewis. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. Thank you.
Coming up later on the Local News Hour, we will be speaking with Summit County Council member Tanya Hansen about yesterday's county council meeting and Park City School District Board member Meredith Reed and Superintendent Lindsay Huntsman about Tuesday's meeting of the Park City Board of Education. And then we'll round out the hour with the Park City and Summit County Arts Council talking about this month's gallery stroll and some programming related to the ongoing Song Summit there at Park City Library Field Thursday through Saturday. We should note that Summit County and the Arts Council of Park City and Summit County are financial supporters of KPCW. On the phone now with an update from the Summit County Council, we have Councilmember Tanya Hansen. Good morning.
Good morning, Connor.
All right. So on the topic of fire, I do suppose that is the topic of the day in the summer and the year. The council got an update on House Bill 48. This is a bill that passed, I believe, 2 years ago and will result in some additional fees for folks living within what was termed the high-risk wildland-urban interface, and we can explain what that means. But it sounds like they are changing the wording around this to be the high-risk structure map. When we say that, can you describe what the state has created here?
Well, apparently there's two maps. There's the WUI map, which was very blanketed across the state. This, to my understanding, is a little more focused on really high-risk structure areas as opposed to just wildland fire areas, which could be the same or not. We're yet to see the map. Yesterday, the county manager gave us an update of where the county is on this program and process. And all three of the fire district chiefs were in attendance and spoke to this. So just for the public's information, what's happening is this map is going to be rolled out, and folks will have the opportunity to look at it and see if their structures or homes are in this high-risk structure map area. If they are, it allows them the opportunity to go in and mitigate their structures and hopefully have their fee reduced because they're taking care of their own property. There will be a fee associated with these structures. If you're in a high-risk area, the fee will be higher. If you're in a low risk, it will be lower. But if you mitigate it, that helps fluctuate that fee also. Now, we don't know what the fee structure is. We're still waiting for that to roll out with the map. This is a work in process. But with the Thames fire going on, it's top of mind for people to be thinking about and trying to mitigate their homes and structures. Defensible space is the key word.
Yeah, this has been delayed a little bit since this bill imposing this fee for wildland urban interface fire mitigation was passed a couple of years ago. And this item yesterday seemed like more of a public information item rather than something the county is going to vote on, because the county will be required to collect this fee. But it is a state program and will go toward, I guess, offsetting the cost, theoretically, of these assessments. We last heard that the fee was going to be anywhere between $20 and $100. Have you heard anything different about how much this could cost annually for residents?
No, we have not. We discussed that yesterday, and that was what people kind of feel like the fee will be, but we have no idea until this rolls out.
Gotcha. And there is a draft map available. We've done stories about this online at kpcw.org, but we're expecting, I think the county manager said, a new updated map next month sometime?
Yes, that's the high-risk structure map.
All right. And the council did vote on acquiring some new property, or was scheduled to do so, the Four Badgers property in Oakley. Was this with open space bond money? What can you tell us about this property acquisition?
Yes, it is with open space bonds. Summit Land Conservancy, in conjunction with Summit County, have been working on this acquisition for quite some time. We're very excited about it. It's almost 10 acres on the Weber River frontage area. It will provide recreation and trails in that area. The total project was approximately $1.6 million. And we received $800,000 grant from Utah Outdoor Recreation. And then from the open space bond funds, we're putting in a little over $800,000. So the county will own it. It's a great opportunity for us to own this property.
Yeah, it's smack in the middle of Oakley, kind of in, it's not really along any major public roads as far as I could tell, but it is along the Weber River. So will this be part of the trail system that, you know, Oakley leaders have been dreaming up and building over the past few years?
Yes, and this is located, for folks who are familiar with that area, across the river from Franson Park. It is a strategic part of the larger Weber River Corridor project. And right now there aren't trails on this parcel, but there is connectivity and there will be trails that connect to other recreation areas there in Oakley.
Yeah, any other details you can provide about the conservation easement that's going to go on this, or maybe already is, as far as what will be allowed and what won't be allowed?
What will be allowed is recreation. You kind of have to hike into it. So I don't know if there will be mountain bike opportunities or not. We didn't discuss that yesterday.
Gotcha. All right. And the council has also given Mountain Regional Water District, this is the largest sort of local water provider on folks' bills, the go-ahead to approve $20 million in water revenue bonds. The way that sounds to me is that these will be paid back through the regular course of customer fees. Is that right?
That is correct. And the reason they came in front of us is we approved some funding a little while ago for their construction costs. They are upgrading the Signal Hill treatment plant. And the prices for the construction came in higher than they anticipated, an increase of almost $16 million. So they came back and said, hey, to help cover these costs, we need to up this, our water bills. Now, we didn't approve the increase of the water bill yesterday. We just approved them to be able to move forward to have a public hearing in the next few weeks regarding this increase.
Gotcha. So, you know, what did they tell you about what they want to use these bonds to pay for as far as infrastructure or maintenance?
Well, they're building a new facility to meet increased demands and to fully utilize Lost Canyon water. And they have all kinds of things that they need. But this is for upgrading the treatment plant for electrical. They're doubling the size of the treatment plant, and it will be like 5.6 million gallons per day. So this is just to help cover those construction costs for that plant.
Gotcha. You know, what can you share about the growth of Mountain Regional Water over time? I've been following the Snyderville Basin general planning process, and there was a very interesting map in there of the various water providers on the west side of the county, and it said that Mountain Regional now has more customers than even Park City's water system, and I thought that was interesting. It's not the oldest special service district in Summit County, and I think was created to be kind of this last resort type water provider. But now it seems like the go-to if you're doing newer development.
It is the go-to, and I think a lot of it has to do with the facility and the structure and what they do with their water. You know, I don't know if you've ever toured the plant. It's really interesting. They pump the water out of the Weber River out just above Rockport, pump it clear up the hill to the top of Promontory where this treatment plant is, and then from there disperse the water throughout Snyderville Basin. I mean, we're talking into the culinary,
half of Park City Mountain might have its snowmaking hooked up to Mountain Regional, and as opposed to the city's own system.
I don't know about that, but the Canyons area and the Colony are on here, just all throughout Snyderville Basin. And in a few weeks, they're coming back to us, and we're doing a work session. We asked for them to come back and really talk to us about what the future potential looks like, because we have all these developments come to us, and they're wanting to develop, and we don't know the capacity of water in the future. So we've ask them to come back and have a work session, and let's talk about potential future development, how much water we currently have, how much water we have access to in the future, do we have enough, where are some of these other developments that are established that their water systems are really not up to par. One is Rockport Estates. They only have water in the summer, not year-round, and that community was built for summer homes. Well, it's turned into year round. And if you live up there, you've got to truck your water up there in the winter. So, you know, is there capacity to help that development? What about Tollgate? Tollgate's kind of in the same situation. So there's a lot of unknowns about the water out in Summit County, and we're asking them to come back and help us understand potential issues in the future.
Certainly. Folks, you're obviously, as legislators, the county council is somewhat of like the local Congress for Summit County, but you also sometimes serve as Supreme Court. And one of the legal things you had to sort out yesterday was some permitting for an asphalt plant. And this was on Southwest Hoytsville Road, so west of I-80. But Risco, which is that steel fabricator in Hoytsville, has, it appears to be a gravel pit, but they're looking for essentially an assurance that they can also process some asphalt on this property west of I-80. And you know, sorting through this one, I'm sure you were about as confused as I was. I think I heard Roger Armstrong say, it's so confusing, I think these guys win, in reference to giving the applicant, you know, the ruling they were looking for. But, you know, what can you summarize maybe some of what legal counsel from the county had to say about the conflict in state law that you were trying to sort out yesterday?
Well, it was a very interesting, confusing discussion because the eastern side of the Summit County Planning Code does not address vested rights, okay? So Reese's Enterprise came in front of us. This gravel pit has been in operation since 1985. They received a CUP, conditional use permit, in 1990. And that was issued for a gravel pit and asphalt facility. Well, there was questions whether the asphalt facility had been in use the entire time or if they had abandoned that use. Because apparently if you abandon that use, then it's no longer feasible to use that facility for something like that.
It's one of those you use it or lose it laws. If you don't keep using it, you might lose that right.
That's correct. Well, the CUP, conditional use permit, runs with the property, not the owner. So Reese's didn't take over until 2009. But they're being good neighbors, and they called the county and said, hey, we want to continue with this asphalt facility. And the county looked at the ordinance and said, well, has it been abandoned? Hasn't it? Is it part of the conditional use? So there was this full discussion about this. And Reese's just decided to say, hey, we want to go to the legislative body and see if it is vested or not. So that's what came in front of us yesterday. And through all of the confusing conversation, the problem is the state code is what's confusing. It says one thing in one section and contradicts it in the other section. So we went round and round about that. But what we came up with is, if it's so confusing and you can't determine in black and white, really tie goes to the runner, or in this case, tie goes to the property owner.
Which in certain parts of state law, that's the law, is that, you know, ambiguity cuts in the favor of property rights and the property owner. So in this case, the long and short of it is they will be able to process asphalt on this property.
We voted to uphold the vested right as a gravel pit, asphalt, and concrete facility, yes.
All right. During council comments, staying in Hoytsville, you mentioned that the Larry H. Miller Company has learned about the Hoytsville Cemetery's desire to expand since, you know, the cemetery is running out of room for burial plots over there, but is, as far as I'm aware, the smallest government budget in Summit County, so not a lot of money to acquire land. What can you tell us about this situation?
Well, I met with the cemetery board and representatives from Larry H. Miller. They're the folks who own the property adjacent to the cemetery. We had a very good conversation. They were open to helping the cemetery expand. What that means in the future, I don't know for sure. They were going to go back to leadership of Larry H. Miller and discuss how they can possibly help expand that cemetery. It was a very cordial, nice conversation, and I'm hopeful that, you know, they will be good neighbors and partners and help that community in this situation.
All right, and I believe the reason they own that land is this is land that was part of the series of purchases that was going to lead to the creation of Cedar Crest Village, that effort to develop Hoytsville a couple years ago, but that has kind of gone dormant. But that's the reason they own the land.
Correct.
Gotcha. Tanya, anything else that you want to mention before we go?
No, I have nothing else. Thank you very much. Right. I really appreciate Park City Fire and what they're doing up there in the Thanes area, and we just are very grateful for all the moisture we've received recently that's going to help with that.
All right. That's County Council Member Tanya Hansen recapping yesterday's County Council meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lightning overnight has sparked a small half-acre fire within Park City Mountain limits on the Mountain Village side. It's located uphill and west of the Motherlode Express Lower Terminal, this being on the eastern aspect of Pinecone Ridge. Park City Fire district is responding and on site right now, so residents are asked or told no need to report this to Summit County Dispatch at this point, since fire crews are aware and working to contain it and create a fire line, is what Assistant Chief Ashley Lewis told us earlier in the hour. Again, this is a lightning-caused fire, about half acre in size, and at according to the Park City and Summit County governments, which gave an update about an hour ago now, there's no danger to structures or the community, but there may be smoke visible. Again, fire crews are working to contain this half-acre fire. The Thanes Canyon Fire on the eastern aspect of Pine Cone Ridge at Park City Mountain. In local news, Recycle Utah is sharing what its future home might look like for the first time. KPCW's Christine Weller reports the plans include a coffee shop, kitchen, and education space.
Recycle Utah released preliminary renderings of its planned recycling and sustainability hub off U.S. Highway 40 in Summit County. At 4.18 acres, the future facility will be about 10 times the size of its current location on Woodbine Way in Park City. Executive Director Andy Hecht said the new space will be easier for residents and businesses to use. The nonprofit will be able to take on more material and handle it more efficiently.
We have thought really hard about how each material flow goes through the building from the person dropping it off through our systems to where it's being shipped out.
Hecht said the process to recycle cardboard, the item the nonprofit receives the most, would require virtually no input from staff. But Recycle Utah's new home will be more than just a place to drop off recycling, he said. It will be a community gathering space. A big part of that is an indoor-outdoor cafe in partnership with Lucky Ones Coffee. Hecht said having a cafe on site will encourage locals to visit. That space can also be used for events. Education also adds to the community hub. The nonprofit interacts with about 7,000 local students annually, and the new facility will have a dedicated education wing with classrooms.
Up until now, we've always had to go to the classrooms to teach the youth about what recycling is and what it means to recycle. But it's really important to be able to show off what it is in a real-world situation.
Hecht said the center will feature an industrial kitchen to help divert waste from the Summit County landfill. He said fundraisers and other events can create large amounts of disposable place settings and food waste. Some can be recycled and composted, but much of it still ends up in the trash. With an industrial kitchen and dishwasher, Recycle Utah can curb some of that, renting out silverware at a discounted rate.
An event with 75 people going to it, renting wine glasses, water glasses, all this stuff, is incredibly expensive. And Recycle Utah can do it at a fraction of the price. We're not trying to turn a profit. We're just trying to eliminate waste from going to landfill.
The kitchen will also support a partnership with Wasteless Solutions. The nonprofit repackages food from conferences or sports arenas in the Salt Lake Valley and delivers it to people experiencing food insecurity. Hecht said Recycle Utah's kitchen will allow Wasteless Solutions to bring that service to the Wasatch back. Recycle Utah will start fundraising soon, years ahead of breaking ground. The nonprofit will operate in its current spot until March 2027, while a temporary facility is constructed on the new site. Hecht said the temporary home will allow Recycle Utah to offer the same services while plans are finalized and funding is secured for its permanent home. Recycle Utah is a financial supporter of KPCW. Christine Weller, KPCW News.
Here in studio now is Lindsay Huntsman, the superintendent of Park City Schools and board president of the Board of Education, Meredith Reed. Thanks for both of you being here.
Good morning.
So it was the first board meeting of the school year on Tuesday. How has the start of school gone this year?
It's gone well. We've received positive feedback from our staff. We provided two no meeting days on Monday, August 17th, and Tuesday, August 18th. And that provided our teachers with that additional prep time. And many of them have reported feeling less stressed as we've returned to school. And we had a freshman first day. So on that first day of school, August 19th, we only had our preschool through ninth grade. And then our 10th through 12th grade returned on August 20th.
With the ongoing construction at the old Treasure Mountain site and the Dozier Field renovations, are there any complicated extra logistical concerns that you've had to take into account with the beginning of school?
Yeah, I would say parking. Construction is still occupying a certain portion of our parking lots, along with timelines being delayed. As everyone knows, football has been rescheduled to South Summit this Friday versus having their first home game at Dozier Field.
Gotcha. And will that go as long as that needs to happen? Are North and South Summit's fields kind of the go-to as far as where the home games can be that would have otherwise happened at Dozier?
Yeah, we're optimistic this is the one and only that will need to be played at South Summit.
But we appreciate our neighbors helping us out here.
Yes, and for those who don't know, there's actually a student on the Board of Education, and they did mention on Tuesday that there have been issues with getting parking passes. Can you talk about how the parking pass process usually works and why student government is considering a lottery next year?
Yeah, so this year wasn't any different than past years. I think social media got the best of us. Our students were taking pictures of themselves camping out overnight, in line very early in the morning, and that created a bit of a chaotic scene. So we are reflecting on our process, looking at an online lottery system. We recognize this isn't just a one-off complaint, especially since it came from our student representative on the board, as well as many parents providing us with constructive feedback.
So where are kids camping out to get the passes? Like
they were
do you
in
mean?
The Eccles parking lot.
And because you come in person to school offices to buy them? Or?
Correct. Okay. It's an in-person purchase system right now, which we are looking to change for next year.
Okay, because it makes me think of camping out for concerts or movies, and you don't have issues with, you know, scalpers or anything like that.
No, okay. No, not at all.
I don't think it's allowed. Right?
No.
But we do, I mean, just to your, that you mentioned our student on the board, it is important for the board to hear from our student body and get their unique perspective and what issues are impacting them, and we're very grateful that they are willing to share that with us.
Yes, and, you know, with the return of school, we're going to also have after-school traffic on Kearns Boulevard. So what is the update on how you're looking to limit or mitigate some of those traffic issues? I know there have been complaints about buses leaving all at once, which will cause, you know, a short delay, but certainly completely stop traffic for a little while on Kearns.
Yeah, what we're looking at is potentially positioning one of our staff along with our SRO within our own parking lot to stop our students, which will then allow our buses to exit safely onto Kearns Boulevard, and then the students can exit after, which will hopefully decrease our students trying to tailgate buses out and just creating congestion that's unnecessary. So trying to have more adult presence in our student parking lot.
Because there's an idea to divert buses onto Lucky John Drive behind the high school, but have neighbors not gone for that idea?
We are still in conversation with the Planning Commission. That idea is on hold as we speak.
Gotcha. Returning real quickly to construction, it sounds like sports teams have been able to practice on Dozier Field. I guess the stands might not be ready?
Correct. So our football team has been able to practice on Dozier Field. The east entrance building is 100% complete. The site concrete and infrastructure is about 85% complete. They just started pouring the final surface of the track, and visitor bleachers and the remaining precast upper home side sections are scheduled to be set this next week.
Gotcha. And as far as the Treasure Mountain Sports Complex, what else needs to happen there before it's open?
Yeah, so the parking lot's paved, bus lane striping, and the remaining landscaping we hope will finish this week. The trail is fully paved through the tunnel. They are laying turf on the softball and baseball field, and then they will transition to the two soccer fields. We anticipate completion by end of October. However, the tennis courts are one piece that are trailing a bit behind, so it may be mid to late November before those are completed.
Gotcha. You started work on a discus pitch on the North 40 fields. I guess it's kind of across the tree line behind Treasure Mountain Sports Complex now. But that turned out not to be part of the permit that you got from the city. So what's the update on expanding the breadth of that permit?
Yeah, so we're actually pivoting.
Okay.
If you recall, we had to reorient the Dozier Field design, which scaled the footprint, and now we're going back to look at ways in which we can include those events on Dozier Field, so it will not be on North 40. You actually should see restoration work start in the next day or two because the stop work order has been vacated.
Okay. And Meredith, a Park City Education Association representative gave an update to the board and said or asked district leadership to consider being a substitute teacher for a few days a year. Apparently that's something that a district in El Paso, Texas has done. How does the board feel about that?
I think, you know, all of our board members are excited and willing to be present in the schools in many different ways and attend our school council meetings and different ways that we can engage, and we are happy to do that. I'm not sure that actually being a substitute is going to work out for a variety of reasons, but we welcome every opportunity to join. I mean, some of us, I am still a parent, Nick's a parent, you know, sometimes we show up in those capacities, but for our board members who aren't, they're happy to come see the plays that the students put on. I mean, all of the activities that happen in the school, we're very happy to join in and be there.
What might make it difficult? Is it a knowledge of curriculum? I mean, often my substitutes would just put on eyewitness whatever informational program on like a little TV stand.
Well, our board, you cannot serve on the board and work in the district. So that would limit how we show up in the schools.
Gotcha.
And I'd also add that we contract with a company called EduStaff, and there's a rigorous onboarding that takes place for our subs. It's not as simple as I fill out a paper and I walk in the next day. So there is a level of expectation that might be different of our subs in comparison to other school districts.
Okay. Anything else that you want to mention from Tuesday's board meeting or updates, Lindsay?
Yeah, I would just share, right, our theme again. We're building on this idea of one Park City, one path, one community, one standard, one pace. And this was included in my welcome back letter to families. And the idea is that the district and the community move forward together. We hold every school to the same standard of instruction and set a sustainable rhythm rather than sprinting and accepting the fact that this is a marathon. It doesn't happen overnight. Change takes time. And we're in this together.
All right, and that's the theme for the school year.
Correct.
All right, we've been speaking with Park City Board of Education President Meredith Reed and Superintendent Lindsay Huntsman. Thank you so much.
Thanks Connor. Connor.
The latest photos we are receiving from listeners of the half-acre Thanes Canyon fire, that lightning started kind of within Park City mountain boundaries on the eastern aspect of Pinecone Ridge, don't appear to show as substantial a smoke column as residents were seeing around 7 a.m. this morning. Utah Fire Info says that this fire was discovered around 6:30. Park City Fire District has since confirmed it is on the scene, working to fell the tree that was struck by lightning last night and working on establishing a perimeter to contain whatever fire may still be in the area. But if you see smoke coming from the Mountain Village side of Park City Mountain in the Thanes Canyon area, Summit County and Park City say they are aware of that fire and ask residents not to call dispatch about it. We've heard from Park City Municipal Communications that all Park City Mountain trails are closed until further notice as fire crews are in the area working on that blaze. So hikers and bikers are asked to steer clear of that for now. Families bonded through music, painting, and Native American dances in Park City this month. KPCW's Ula Britt Libre has details on the connections fostered at Art on the Trails.
The Arts Council of Park City and Summit County invited the Wasatch back to engage with dance, music, and painting on the McLeod Creek Trail August 22nd. The accessible trail made the mile-long tours available to everyone. The first stop was Eligio and Coco Garcia, a father-son musical duo. Then came a contemporary performance from the Ryrie Woodbury Dance Company. Parkite Josh Cates says art helps him connect with loved ones in ways he otherwise couldn't.
My mother has advanced Alzheimer's, and I can sing with her and she can sing back, but she can't have a conversation with me. So I just think it's a very important part of sort of a well-rounded education, and complements everything else that you do in life and keeps you sane.
Participants chatted with plein air painters as they captured outdoor scenes in real time. Later, the group lingered by dream catchers made by Arts Council interns. Intern Kaylee Galatro says passerbys added their dreams to the creations.
They come and they write on a piece of paper either a dream of theirs or something they hope to do one day, and it's connected to a feather, and the feathers actually symbolize the dream softly coming down into the dreamer's head.
The tour ended with performances from Cultural Fire Events, an Indigenous-led nonprofit. Brianna Esau, a member of the Western Timok Shoshone tribe of Elko, Nevada, says her dances are healing.
I always go back to watching my mom while I'm out there dancing. I will look at my mom and sometimes she'll be in tears just of how powerful this dance is, and that brings me that purpose and that reasoning for why I need to continue this.
Esau's four-year-old daughter draped a butterfly shawl over her tiny shoulders for the, quote, fancy dance. 11-year-old Annika Cates reflected on the walk.
Looking at art makes me feel happy that everyone can express their feelings by something that's not only words.
Her 9-year-old brother, Henry, agreed. The Cates family and others along the way said the artwork and performances strengthened familial ties while allowing them to spend time outdoors. Park City Summit Arts Council is a financial supporter of KPCW. Ulibert Libre, KPCW News.
As it happens, we have the executive director of the Park City Summit County Arts Council here in studio, Jocelyn Scudder. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. So Song Summit begins today, the music festival. It's going to be at the Park City Library Field Thursday through Saturday. And starting tomorrow, I believe the Arts Council will be there.
Yeah, we're really excited to partner with Song Summit this year and host a small local artist pop-up in their Song Summit Village located at Park City Library. And so we are featuring some of our Create PC artists, Mark Maziars, Lisa Needham, and Emily Meeklin. They'll be selling their artwork and also doing live art activations. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of cool stuff happening over at this Song Summit Village. It is actually free to just go in and check out what they have going on. I know the Song Summit Foundation will be showcasing their work as well. And so this opens tomorrow, and it's pretty much all day. It starts at 11 a.m., goes to 7 p.m., both Friday, the 28th, and then also on Saturday. And so we encourage you guys to go check it out. It sounds like a really fun event, and I think they've kind of got a new angle this year. So it'll be really interesting to see the activations that they have, and then always nice to visit some of our local artists.
Yeah, what does live art activations entail?
Well, it really depends on the artist, Connor. You know, Mark is a photographer. Lisa is a mixed media painter and printmaker. Emily Meeklin mainly paints. And so we really tasked them to think about the Song Summit Foundation's mission and connect live art and visual art to music and mental wellness. And so, you know, I'm not going to give it away. They are going to do their own activations. And, you know, they were tasked to come up with something engaging and interactive. And so they will most likely integrate their art practice and encourage people to come either create art, or they'll be making art in front of people. And it's always fun to spy on the creative process.
All right. Well, we will be doing two things at once tomorrow because it's the monthly gallery stroll for August. These are on the final Fridays of each month?
Yes, always on the last Friday. And so this is a great way to head up to Main Street. There are also many galleries that participate in the Gallery Association that are open for gallery stroll in the Prospector Square area. Create PC is open. And so if you are interested in the gallery stroll and wanted more information, you can always go to ParkCityGalleryAssociation.com to find out more. But again, this is a monthly activation. Sometimes our gallerists have new shows up. They'll have artist talks. So it's a great way to really immerse in our very vibrant gallery scene.
All right. And then Sunday, the Park City Sunday Market is back after its sort of hot time of the year hiatus. How is the Arts Council involved with Park City? Are you a vendor? Do you Do you have vendors? How does that work?
You know, we're not directly involved. We are simply a supporter and cheer on the Park City Market. It's one of our favorite events of the summer. We work, you know, we are great partners with Kate and Michelle, who run this lovely market. And we help promote it. And a lot of our Create PC artists and the artists that we work with year-round are vendors. So I think it's a great showing of local artisanal vendors, but also regional, right? There's I think, new vendors every single Sunday. So there's always something new to check out. And I think it's a great connection point for our community. I always head down and see people that I haven't seen in a while. And so it's a wonderful gathering place for our community. And we're excited that it's back after a small hiatus. So it'll be back this Sunday, August 30th, and then every Sunday in September, which is exciting.
All right. And, you know, while we've got you here until you're back on air next month, what can folks go see or experience art-wise in early September?
So early September, definitely check out Miner's Day. This is, honestly, it's such a fun day of history and culture. Of course, there's a parade starting at 11 down Main Street. But down at City Park, you have food trucks, there's kids games, vendors booths, there's a beer garden, there's live music. But some of my favorite activations are more related to the nod to history. There's Miners and Memories. These are history presentations at the Miners Hospital, and it's an open house. And also my favorite, it's a little loud, so if you're sensitive to that, maybe be mindful, but the mucking and drilling competitions over at City Park from 12:30 to 2. So again, this is a wonderful nod to our history and culture as a place, and a fun opportunity to connect with your community members, learn a little bit about our mining history, and celebrate in community with everybody.
All right, and then you have a fundraiser September 19th. This is the Monster Drawing Rally. Is that... sounds like monster trucks, or is it drawing
that's
art?
Okay. That's intentional, mainly because it's a fun and chaotic day of art making. If you have not yet been to the Monster Drawing Rally, we encourage you to come. Again, this is a fundraiser event that we produce in partnership with the Kimball Art Center. It's hosted at the Kimball Art Center. It's on Saturday, September 19th from 3 to 6 p.m. And the event features, there's live music, food, there's a bar, but really the star of the show is the live art making sessions where artists create pieces live in 50-minute sessions. We have three sessions of those. This year, we have the most artists that have applied in many years. 35 artists have come to the table, and they'll be creating original artwork live. And then people come, and you can bid on this artwork. Now, the trick is, all pieces are $50. And this is also intentional, right? Our goal is to ensure that we're kind of level the playing field. It's not how deep your pockets are, but we actually, we have decks of cards all throughout the event, and it's luck of the draw. And so if multiple people want to bid on a piece, we hand out cards, ace high. And so it's a really fun event, but it also makes art collecting accessible, especially for original artworks. It's a wonderful event for both the Kimball and the Arts Council, because we both work a lot in the visual art space, and these are visual artists that come to the table who donate their time, who donate their artwork to benefit the Kimball. So this is a ticketed event. It's $25, 10 for kids, and free for kids 5 and under. So you can find out more at either of our websites. You can go to pcscarts.org, kimballartscenter.org. It's a fun, artsy day of chaos. It is outside at the Kimball Arts Center, mm-hmm. kind of next to the Boneyard. But luckily, historically, we've had really great weather, so we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. And tomorrow and Saturday, the Arts Council of Park City and Summit County will have three artists affiliated with the Create PC Maker and kind of market space there doing a pop-up activation at the Song Summit Village. The festival is going on there at the Park City Library Field through Saturday. We've been speaking with the Arts Council Executive Director Jocelyn Scudder. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
The Promontory Foundation's annual ceremony honored 45 local nonprofits on Tuesday. Funds for the grants came from the Promontory Club's annual fundraiser. Club Managing Director Kelly Brown says this year's event raised money for this year's grants as well as an endowment fund to sustain the program. Brown thanked the members who helped give back to the community.
for many of them, this is not even their primary home, and they're finding really meaningful ways to give back to our local community because we love Park City, we love Summit County, and especially love Promontory. But most importantly, we love the nonprofits here in our area that are doing so many good things.
The People's Health Clinic received top honors, the foundation's $50,000 Promontory Promise Grant. Clinic Chief Executive Officer Mari Lining congratulated the 44 other nonprofits who were also honored at the ceremony.
The People's Health Clinic is deeply grateful to the Promontory Foundation for this investment in our patients and our community. We're going to use this money directly toward our pediatric program.
KPCW was also among the organizations who were awarded $500,000 total across 45 local nonprofits. The Promontory Foundation says this year's ceremony was the largest in its 20-year history. Since its inception, the foundation has awarded more than $13 million to local organizations. And KPCW is keeping an eye on the Thames Canyon fire. This is a half-acre lightning-caused fire on the eastern face of Pinecone Ridge. Park City and Summit County government saying in a social media post this morning that there's no danger to structures or the community, and the Park City Fire District is on scene, so there's no need to report this fire if you see smoke in that area. Fire crews are working to fell the tree that was struck by lightning and establish a fire perimeter. Again, this is uphill and west of the bottom of Motherlode Express at Park City Mountain. No structures threatened at this time. Updates are at kpcw.org.